New York, it's Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation here, Talk Radio 790 KBC, and coming to you from the WABC studios, our affiliate station here in Midtown Manhattan. Really good to be here this evening. 800-222-5222 if you want to be on the program, or email me, sam@samnation.com. Now, what day is it? It's the 14th, right? Okay, so what typically happens? Quick quiz question. What typically happens on the 15th of April? If you are a responsible adult, that date, well, that day causes you, it puts a little bit of fear into your heart, doesn't it? Because it's tax day. And today's news, of course, is that the federal government has had incredible breaking records, has reached record tax collection through March. Now, let's see if you can wrap your heads around this number. $695 billion in individual income taxes alone. Just, I mean, that's just through March of this year. It's crazy. Lots and lots and lots and lots of money. And the interesting thing, now I'll tell you, first thing, don't panic. If you haven't done your taxes yet, you actually have three more days this year. And do you know why that is? So tax day falls on Saturday, right? So on the 15th. So it's not going to be on Saturday or Sunday. And then, that's right, there's a holiday in Washington, D.C., Emancipation Day. And that normally falls on Sunday, but because Sunday's a holiday, moved it to Monday, so that pushes tax day back 3 days. That's pretty good. That's a great win. So we'll take it, and we have until Tuesday to finish up and get everything done and in. Now, do you know that there was a life before our income tax, before our income was taxed? This year, 2017, we are celebrating 104 years of the federal income tax, meaning that before the year 1913, the government did not tax personal incomes. Can you imagine that? No, literally no income tax before the year 1913. And there's been some interesting statistics. I'll share a couple of them with you because a lot has happened between 1913 and 2017. And the lesson to draw from this is you know that expression, you give somebody an inch and they take the whole damn yardstick? Well, that expression applies. If it applies to anyone, it applies to our government. You give them an inch and they will take the whole dang stick and beat you over the head with it. And here's an example. So 1913, do you know how many pages there were in the tax code? Because now, today the tax code is 74,000 pages long. Actually, 74,608 to be exactly accurate. So I don't know if you've ever read a 74,000-page book. I doubt it because there's no such thing. But when it comes to the government, that's how many pages of code in our tax system right now. Do you know how many pages there were at its inception in 1913? Just 400. Think about that. Just 400. Now, you know what the top tax bracket was? Like, the top tax bracket was only 7%. That's the most you could pay. Like, you were the Rockefellers. You know, I was walking around New York today, Rockefeller Center, Carnegie Hall. These guys, they took home whatever it was. 7% of it was taxed by the federal government. And now it's 39.6%. 39.6%, and then you pay state taxes and a bunch of other stuff on top of it. So for many of us that live in liberal, crazy land states like California, New York is another one, we're constantly dealing with we pay a lot more than that. But imagine this, 1913, 7%, 2017, almost 40%. Insane. And the point here is, and there's some great, I'll share some other tidbits on this with you in a minute, but the point of it, this is when it comes to government regulation, when it comes to government in your pocketbook, it's easy in and hard out. It is very easy to get the government to take more, to regulate more, to interfere more. Government waste will always grow. The government's going to always expand. The regulations will increase. Your liberties go down. And taxes, they have to go up. Why? Because all this nonsense costs money. It does. So the federal government, any government, God, even your local state, you know, local county government, city government, they have an appetite for money. Because money gives them the ability to give away all those freebies that they promised to get a bunch of idiots to vote them into office every year. That's how this works. So it is a self-perpetuating system that continues to grow and bloat and take over. And I'm bringing this up to say this. The Republicans in Congress right now have a once-in-a-lifetime chance, opportunity to do this, to roll some of this back, to actually take a step back from the decades of government expansion. They can do this. And the fact that they are, I mean, look, I get it. It's a 2-week vacation. It's Easter. Come on. Let me ask you, when you vote, and I know we're, as Californians, we're in a real pickle here because we vote for Republicans who really are not much of Republicans. I mean, the ones that we sent up to Sacramento, they're useless because they're outnumbered like 100-1. And the guys and gals that we send over to Washington, D.C., they tend to be some of the more liberal members of Congress. And they end up voting in some of the crazy, you know, they don't necessarily help the situation, many of them, at all, historically. But we here, maybe more than other places, I mean, look at how expensive it is to live here in California. And one of the great expenses of California is not just the housing price, cost of living, but it's the enormous tax burden. It's the enormous amount of money that we pay in taxes. And it's, you know, I mean, so we've got our top tax rate. What is it? We've got about an average of 9.5. Is that right? And it's insane. That's some property taxes, income taxes, sales, all that good stuff. It's an enormous amount. And it gets added to all the other expenses. But what do we get for this money in return? That's always the question. You know, everything that you do in your life, when it's your dollars, when it's your hard-earned cash, you're always looking at the ROI. If I'm going to spend this money for guitar lessons for my kid, what am I going to get back from it? Is my kid going to learn how to play guitar? And you know, if I'm going to pay this money for the gym, am I really going to go to the gym? If I'm going to pay this money for my car, is the car really worth it? We make these calculations in our head. And so it frustrates us to no end when we watch our government. I look at this, I'm looking at the government, and I'm saying, year over year, what am I better off by giving up more and more of my paycheck to you than I was the year before and the year before that? And the answer almost always unequivocally is no. Is absolutely not. More money does not equate better value. It doesn't, a lot of times not in the real marketplace, and certainly not when it comes to the government. Schools are a great example of this. Okay, my kids go to Irvine. My kids are public school educated. I send them to public school, and it's Irvine Unified in Orange County. Very good school district. You know what the stats are? Do you know that in LA Unified, it's got to be one of the crappiest school districts in the country. Sorry, but I hate to break it to you. That's the truth. You've got you. They pay, in Irvine, I looked this up. I was curious about this. $9,000 spent per year per student. LA Unified, $11,500. It's not an insignificant difference. Point made here. It costs more to educate kids per child in Los Angeles in LA Unified. But the value isn't there. And why isn't it there? Well, if you're close to the problem, you realize you've got overpaid bureaucrats. you've got a school system that is not functioning for the benefit of the students. It's functioning for the benefit of the bureaucracy. It's bloated. It's huge. Irvine Unified, smaller district, more oversight, more parent involvement. You know, I mean, if the kind of shenanigans that went on in L.A. happened here, that, you know, the parents would show up outside the district building with pitchforks and torches. No, somebody would get tarred and feathered. Literally, no joke. But in a big difference, the bigger the machine gets, the bigger the bloat, the more likely it is that it's going, the more likely you are to have waste accrue in the dark corners of the vast uncontrolled bureaucracy. I'm telling you, Congress has got to get behind this president and start to clean it up. It is always easier to expand. It is always easier to give goodies away than it is to take them back. On my way, when I got to New York, let's see, I landed early in the morning, about 6:30 on Thursday morning, and I was taking a car in from the airport, and I'm talking to the driver, and he's mad as hell about Chris Christie, you know, the governor of New Jersey. This the driver lives in New Jersey, and he's mad at the governor of New Jersey for what? He goes, well, you know, you could not talk to a single teacher who's going to like Chris Christie. Now, I'm no Chris Christie fan, but I'm curious. I said, well, so tell me more. Why are they so mad at him? Well, he's refused to fund their pension plans, and he's taken money away from teachers. And I laughed, and I'm kind of telling him a little my thought on it. I'm picturing how it happens. Here's what happened. And I don't know necessarily the story of what happened in New Jersey, but I can tell you it follows a predictable pattern. Politician number one comes along. He wants to get elected. He wants to become governor or mayor or whatever it is. He wants to become the next guy in charge. So what does he do? He promises the people more goodies, whatever the goodie is. Bigger pension plan for teachers, more money for teachers, more money for prison guards, more money for this, more money for that. And people, voters, are stupid. You know this, okay? You talk to people all the time. Your friends, you know, give you their political opinions. They're dumb. And so, exactly. So they say, oh, that sounds great. Fantastic. Good, good, good. Goodies. And so the politician wins the election. And in he gets into office. And now he begins out. You know what? If he doesn't fulfill his campaign promises, he's out in 4 years. So what does he do? He starts giving away the goodies, but he builds in the expense. He buries the expense. He wants that bomb to hit when he's long gone out of office. Right? I mean, it's just like what Obama did with Obamacare. When did all the big expenses hit with Obamacare? When the last 2 years of his presidency, after the midterms were done in Congress, so they wouldn't politically harm Obama. He didn't care about who's going to come after him. It's politics. He didn't care about getting elected to the next office. He's president. He's top of the game, top of the mountain. No need to sweat. Typical political move. You delay and bring and push the costs off to the end, to when you're gone, or to when it can't affect you. And then the next guy or the guy after or the gal or whoever comes into office, and your successor, right now, the new guy, has to deal with it. And whoever it is that decides, I'm going to balance the budget, I gotta shore these costs up somewhere, somehow, I got to fix this. That guy that guy is the guy who gets all the hate, right? That's the guy who, when they come along, when you've got like the driver I was telling you about in the car coming from the airport, teachers hate Chris Christie. He took away their pensions. Yeah. But some idiot, 10 years ago promised them, mountains of goodies. And what happened? Eventually, the state ran out of money. This is why our tax code, why our tax rate has gone from what is it, 1913 has gone from 7% to now almost 40%. This explains it. You give the government an inch, they take the whole yardstick. And right now, we are in a place where we are uniquely able, with this president and a willing Congress, to get things done and turn back the clock. And I think it needs to happen like now. All right, more on this when we come back. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rachofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. We're live from New York, broadcasting from the WABC studios in Midtown Manhattan. Talking about Tax Day, letting you all know, this is a public service announcement from the program. You have until Tuesday, so don't sweat that. Now, talking here during the break about the IRS. It's such a scary thing, right? The people you don't want to hear from is the IRS. I have to share a funny story about this. So last week, I'm getting a series of things done, and I've got a great new assistant at work. Her name is Grace, and she's doing a great job, but she's new. And I come in, I'm coming in from a meeting, and I walk in, and she just looks pale. And she says to me, I have some really bad news, Sam. I have some really bad news. And so I start panicking. And it was something about calling Verizon, calling the phone company about some cell phone thing, and that they made her start something all over again. And I just put my hand up and I said, Grace, I know you're new. Okay. Listen to me. The only phone call I need to hear about is the IRS called. That's it. Everything else is, the building is on fire and the IRS called. Those are the only two things. And we laughed about it because, to a young person, the fact that she's, had a little setback with the phone bill is a big deal. But you and I know, what I'm talking about. This is, nothing scares us more than the IRS. But we know we have to pay our taxes. Okay, we know that. But where the hell does all this money go? Where does it go? Giant black pit is where it goes. And by the way, a lot of the stuff it goes to is just really stupid. It's really stupid. I've talked to you before about the ridiculous programs. I found one recently. $2 million a year goes to studying children who don't like to eat food that's been sneezed on. I mean, that's a real thing. Oh, by the way, Uncle Sam, Sam Nation here. If you want to pay me $2 million to test that, I'll do it. I got three kids. I'm gonna sneeze on their food, hand it to them, see if they like to eat it, and I'll let you know. I'll write a little report on it. Whatever you want me, happy to do it. I found another program, $500,000 a year, that texted people, encouraging them not to smoke. Okay, I'm explaining it. We have a unique opportunity right now to roll some of this nonsense back because we have a White House for the first time. Bush, maybe during Bush a little bit, but not for the first time in a generation. We have a White House that is legitimately interested in scaling back the government. We have a White House, they've got a president who actually has had to pay some real income taxes in his life, no matter what Chuck Schumer says, okay? He's had to pay some real money. He's had to part with his hard-earned cash. This isn't his community organizer stipend. This isn't his wife's, you know, phone-in job at the hospital. This is real money that he earned from scratch that he had to give up to the government. And he's mad as hell about it. I'm talking about Trump, by the way, if you're not following me on this. And I like that because I don't care. Look, Trump's in a world that you and I, these are numbers that are not fathomable to us, probably, most of us. But in any rate, it's all the same. You know, when I wasn't making 60 grand a year, I mean, giving up 12 grand of that after my deductions, that was a significant amount. I remember that. I remember trying to save up. I just remember trying to put away money so I could go back to college. I remember trying to pay off my credit cards. All that money added up. It all does. And so when the media tells you, oh, it's just $400 million for that program and it's not really going to do anything by cutting it. Yeah, is that how your budgeting works? Because in my household, every little bit matters. It all adds up. That's math. And unfortunately, for decades, we've had a government who doesn't do math. They just like to subtract right out of our pocketbook and back pocket. All right, we got John Wolf up with the next news. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Welcome back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. We are making radio great again, live from New York, broadcasting out of the WABC studios here in Midtown Manhattan. Well, I'm reminded if we're talking about taxation, and we've got taxes due on Tuesday the 18th, so get them done if you haven't already. I'm reminded of that great Ronald Reagan quote about taxes. Republicans believe every day is the 4th of July, which is true. We're patriots, right? But the Democrats believe that every day is April 15th. Excuse me. So good, right? Good because it's true. It's that slow, steady creep of expansion. Now, I don't mean creep. I mean as a noun, right? The creeping expansion of the federal government, of regulation, of taxation. And I remember what I told you about the tax code. So we're mourning 104 years of the federal income tax this year. And in 1913, mentioned this in the first segment, it was 1913. There were only 400 pages of the tax code. Period. That's it. 400 pages. And by the way, if you think 400 pages is a lot, I agree with you. Because my idea of a tax code would be, one page that says, 9% or 8% or 7% flat tax done and over. But anyway, today the tax code. Do you know what's grown to? Just 104 years. 74,608 pages. It's insanity. No mortal, by the way, no regular human can possibly navigate that. And so we trust our economics right to the professionals our accountants and financial advisors to guide us through it. And it ends up being, I think, and hear me out on this, it's a very basic thing, and this is, maybe you don't realize this, but in business, for a lot of people who are running businesses that ought to exist for the sole purpose of making money, because that in turn grows the business and grows everything out and makes sure they're hiring people and injecting money back into the economy with investments, these people end up spending so much time building their business in a way to please the tax code instead of building their business to just make money and succeed. And it's when business and individuals start behaving in a way in order to navigate and to best accommodate the 74,000 pages of the tax code, instead of their bottom line. That's where it all gets really complicated. And I'll tell you what else, you know, the other an unintended consequence of this type of expansion is that you really cannot do any of it without a tax professional. I remember this even at, I was probably 19 or 20, maybe 21 when I first had my taxes professionally done, and I was shocked how much I had been overpaying. I'd just been paying too much money for my taxes. The year that I did it on my own and to the year that I had it professionally done, I want to say I wasn't making a whole lot of money back then, but I want to say I saved about $2,000 or $3,000, which at 21 is a freaking fortune, all right? And this is exactly what it's like when it comes to this is why I always tell you about Sweet James, right? If you get into an accident, you have an accident or injury occur to you, and you think you're going to go at it alone, if you think that the IRS tax code is complicated, think about what our court system is like, what the insurance code is like. That's another government-created disaster, right? So do not try to navigate that alone. Do not get Sweet James to help you. Call him, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. You can visit his website, sweetjames.com. And remember, the best part about it is you're not paying him anything until he settles your case. He's got a great team of people. And I got to mention one of their victories. I'm going to do that here maybe next segment. I got to tell you, there's some great news that he shared with me today that I think you'll find interesting. But you just don't go at it alone. That's the key thing. Not your taxes, and certainly not your personal injury case, because you want to trust that to the right lawyer. And the right lawyer is Sweet James. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, we'll be back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. We're back live here in New York, coming to you from Midtown Manhattan in the WABC studios. So I was just telling you about Sweet James earlier, and I wanted to share a quick story that happened today. Great victory for Sweet James and his team. The verdict came down in a trial. But it's interesting. So how these cases sometimes work. So the trial, the verdict was $2.4 million. It was a personal injury case, and the insurance company. Yeah, listen to this. The insurance company had an opportunity to pay. It was just a $15,000 limit, $15,000, and the client had injuries that were fairly extensive, about $130,000 in meds. And medical expenses. So you'd think, right, the insurance company, if you're hurt and you have $130,000 in bills, right, costs, real money that you have to pay back, and you go to the insurance company and they've got this little policy, right, $15,000, that they're just going to turn it over to you, right? They're just going to hand it to you and say, here's $15,000 and yay. And you actually think, well, then you're going to hire a lawyer, and they're just going to turn it over to you. And we gave him the opportunity. I was talking to James. They gave him the opportunity to turn it over. And the insurance company fought him on it. So James says, you know what? Screw you. We're going to trial. We're going to take this all the way. Because then what happens is, right, who ends up getting screwed in that situation? Well, the person that caused the accident, right? They want their insurance to cover them and take care of them. But their insurance company wants to save dollars, and even when it's egregious like that, when it's obvious that they should pay, they still don't. And so now the insurance company, I mean, I'm terrible at math, but let's do some quick math here. What's 2.4 million minus 15,000? Right? Think about that. That's a huge delta right there. Insurance companies, they're like United Airlines, right? I mean, you see what United Airlines did? They're willing to cut off a leg to cut off a nose to spite their face. I mean, All they could have done is said in that airplane in United Airlines, hey, we're going to offer you $5,000. They would have gotten 10 people to stand up and get out of there. And the same thing with insurance companies. So you don't, listen, do not be naive about this. Insurance companies and their agents and their lawyers, their adjusters, they do not want to pay you anything. It's true. But it costs them once in a while. If you have the right lawyer, Sweet James, the man himself. All right. Now, of course, when it comes to the government, talking about taxes, and it is funny, by the way, when I mentioned that Ronald Reagan quote, how Republicans, their favorite holiday is July 4th, their favorite day of the year. For Republicans, July 4th, it's every day of the year is like July 4th. And for Democrats, every day of the year is tax day. Just love to take, tax the rich, get them, you know, just put their hands in their money and pull it out and give it away to everybody and spend it in profligate ways. Well, guess what? It's actually Ronald Reagan, as per usual, prophetic words, because you know who is planning a giant protest all around the country? Democrats on what was normally traditionally tax day, the 15th. So this Saturday, expect big protests everywhere. And what are they protesting, these Democratic protesters? They're actually protesting the things that I was telling you about in the first segment. They're actually worried that Trump and the Republican Congress are going to go too far in cutting our taxes. There are people organizing protests as we speak, getting excited, put on a big show on Saturday to protest tax cuts, to protest government cutting government waste. This is it's incredible. And this is what I'm saying. There really is an opportunity. We are so fortunate that we have a White House that has the political will to get it done. They're pushing for it. And Trump cannot back down from this. He's going to have to drag Congress kicking and screaming, but Trump cannot give up on this. He gives up on this, he's losing a major, major source of support. All right, Sam Rogowski, be back right after this.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, broadcasting live from New York, from the WABC studios here in Manhattan. Hey, I want to thank everybody here in New York in the studios for helping me out and hosting me here. It's been really nice. Chief engineer here has been fantastic and really accommodating. I love the Cumulus family. A lot of great people. And I want to say something else here, indulge me in a little bit of inside baseball. I am a great lover of radio. I mean, I grew up, even though I'm a younger guy, I don't know if you know this about me. I grew up without a TV at home. My parents were that was their thing, you know, no TV. They wanted us to read and wanted us to be creative and draw and whatnot and have time to play. And so what happened is I ended up listening to a lot of radio, and I loved, I listened to old time radio. I had, I like Jack Benny, George Burns, Gracie Allen, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, a lot of talk radio. And I was one of the odd kids who, in the fourth, fifth and sixth grade was listening to AM radio and loving it. And so it is, I mentioned it yesterday on air, but to be here in the WABC studios, this is a storied station. I mean, the people, Don Imus show broadcasts out of here. Rush Limbaugh got his start here. I mean, a lot of the greats, true legends in our industry have gotten their start here or have been here, broadcast out of here. So it's, it's humbling for the new kid on the block to have this opportunity. And it's not really my doing. It's all the people behind the scenes, a lot of phone calls to make it happen and help accommodate me, because I have this thing where even if I'm if I'm not at home, I want to bring the show along. And I don't always have a, you know, I'm always in some strange places, so I don't always have a Cumulus station, a home station to go to. And this has really been an exceptional experience. I've really enjoyed it. So thank you. Thank you to everybody involved. Those tax protests I was telling you about, you know, it's really funny. It is actually a sign, in my opinion, that there's a chance that we have some success from this White House and from this Congress. When the libs are protesting, they're scared. And this is good because Republicans, the most frustrating thing about being a conservative, I tell you, is watching Republicans campaign hard, go to Congress, go to the White House, whatever. They win occasionally. They show up and then they just fold. They start to accommodate everybody. They back down. Trump can't do that. I think he's the one person who might really not back down. I think there's enough political will in the Capitol to not do that. It was in 1993 that Tax Day was a protest when Newt Gingrich got up and said, enough is enough. We got to scale back this government. We got to do something about it. And within a year, he was in Congress, contract with America, and we had tax reform. We had welfare reform. We had change. And I'm hoping that I trust. I really do. I'm an optimist. Glass is half full. So I gotta hope and pray that it all comes together. Have a wonderful Easter. Travel safe. Enjoy your families. And I'll be back here Monday night after the holiday, 7 p.m., back in Los Angeles. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.